Good morning, everybody. It is WMFO in Medford, 9 a.m. on the dot here on Saturday. It is December 24th, everybody, the day before, as I like to say. Sometimes that means nothing, mostly to everybody but me. I am Mike, and I'm on the mic here this morning until 11 a.m., until our friend Sue will be here with something about the women. She's been working hard to get some great songs, some Christmas tracks for you, that some of which have been heard before, some of which haven't, and she's looking forward to playing them for you today at 11 a.m., so stick around at 11 for Sue and something about the women. All right. This morning, for the 2 hours, the first one, I'm really proud to present an interview slash performance with a local artist named Pratik Poddar. Pratik is local. He's been playing some kind of instrument and singing for a long time. I think he started at least playing an instrument when he was 4 years old. And he was referred to me by some other guests that I've had in here, including Taylor Holland and Angelie, Mirage. I mean, they're all kind of a rat pack, it seems. But I really, really enjoyed my time with this gentleman. So it gives me great pleasure to play something that I recorded with Pratik a little over a month ago here at Studio C, as I'll tell you on my alter ego here on the recording. Enjoy, okay? It's Pratik Poddar here at WMFO. Hello, everybody. This is Mike on the mic here at WMFO. Hope everybody's doing well. I am here in a different studio than usual, and pre-recording with a special guest, a singer-songwriter who's local, and I want to introduce you all to Pratik Poddar.
Hey, thanks for having me on the air, Mike. This is awesome.
You're welcome. Now tell me I pronounced your name correctly.
You did pronounce my name correctly.
Fantastic. That's all right. Yeah. I figured that would be strike one. Very nice. Yeah. All right. So listen, I'm really happy to meet you. You're actually a friend of some other folks I've had in here before. Taylor Holland was here a little while ago, and we'll be back kind of shortly. And also Angelie as well.
Yeah, no, they're both ridiculously phenomenal.
Both ridiculously.
I honestly feel honored to know both of them.
Yeah, so I'm awfully glad they referred you to WMFO and to us, because I want to let the audience know all about you.
Yeah.
So, if we had a couch, I would tell you to lie down on the couch and tell me about your childhood. So why don't we start with that? You're probably, I'm going to guess, low to mid-20s age?
Yeah, I'm 24.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And I know you're a guitarist. Was that the first and only instrument that you play?
It actually wasn't. My parents started me on the piano when I was about 4 years old, and that was kind of the first instrument that I had any experience with it, and they made me practice, so of course I hated it.
I'm also a pianist from way back.
Oh, wow. Do you still play? Or?
I do. I took my piano that was in my house that I grew up in, and it's in my place now.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, we sold our house, and I said, that's coming with me.
Yeah, the thing is that what ended up happening was I hated being made to play the piano, but years later, like, I came back to it, and of course, I can't play it now, but just I fell in love with, like, a lot of pianists, singer-songwriters, pianists, that kind of thing. But piano was my first instrument. Yep. And when I was, I think, I was 9 years old, that was how old you had to be to join the school band. And I was 8 years old when they came and did, like, when I got to, like, see, like, the elementary, the school band play, like, the elementary school band in my district, and I loved it. So as soon as I was able to, I was like, I want to do that. I told my parents, I really, really want to do that. So I started off on the trombone.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I played piano, and I played trombone in the school band. Yes.
That's phenomenal.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're finding common ground already. This
Fine.
Is great.
Okay.
But trombone, now after the trombone, I ended up switching to the trumpet and then the clarinet, and I stuck with the clarinet for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where it separates.
There we go. I was a dyed-in-the-wool band geek, and that was really my first exposure to music. What kind of got me to where I am now was my parents kind of raised me on a lot of, like, they raised me on a lot of the folk boom music from the 60s, so
okay.
A lot of Peter, Paul, and Mary, a lot of Simon and Garfunkel, and they raised me on a lot of the Beatles, too. And I was crazy.
You gotta do the Beatles.
Yeah, and I was crazy about all three of those. And I took guitar in a music class when I was in sixth grade, and I loved it. But I really wanted to play it. And what really I think got me, like, really lit the fire under my butt was hearing Day Tripper by the Beatles. And as soon as that guitar riff kicked in, I was just like, I'd have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that made me just want to get up on stage and just play. And so, yeah, I talked my parents into buying me an electric guitar when I was a kid. And I doodled around on it and tried to teach myself some things and realized that I couldn't teach myself anything.
Was Day Tripper the first thing you tried?
It was not the first thing I tried, but it was definitely one of the first things I tried.
Do you remember what the first song is that you felt like, oh, I can play this?
It might have been, honestly, at the risk of sounding like a total cliche, it might have actually been Smoke on the Water, but because that's that is literally one of the easiest riffs you can learn on guitar.
It is. We'll forgive you for that. Yeah. That's fine.
But so it was electric guitar for a while, and after so my parents I tried to teach myself and I wasn't very good at it, so I bugged my parents for guitar lessons. So when I was 14, I started taking guitar lessons, and then, you know, I did that for a couple of years, and it just kind of took off. Like, suddenly I was listening to, like, Led Zeppelin and Van Halen and all this kind of, and, like, Nirvana and all this, and Pantera and all this stuff, and I was just trying to copy it on guitar and just, like, mess around with it as much as possible. I'd come home from school, and the first thing I'd do would just pick up the guitar and try to play. Then it'd get pretty late in the night, and I'd think, well, I guess I'll do my homework now.
Right. Yeah, that's a bad start, but that's all right. You turned out okay.
I hope so.
So the Beatles, of course, I'm glad to hear about that.
Yeah.
And I know that you have some other influences as well.
Yeah.
You know, the first one that you mentioned to me is a favorite of mine and most people that I know. And I wonder when Ryan Adams first sort of showed himself to you.
Yeah, so the influences that... I kind of mentioned to you earlier are my songwriting influences, and I was very much a guitarist before I became a songwriter. When I started writing songs wasn't actually until college, that was an interesting time in my life because I went to college because my parents said, well, you got to go to college because what else are you really going to do? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that's a fair point. Because I really didn't know what else I was going to do.
Who does at that age?
Yeah, I had some vague notion of like what I wanted to get as a degree, and I figured I'd try like try to get a degree in neuroscience, and I wasn't very good at that.
Oh, taking the easy route.
Yeah, sure. always underachieving, but I wasn't. Yeah. I didn't have the aptitude for that, and so I was at this point in my life where I was like, I had to do something, and what I was trying wasn't working, but I didn't know what else I was going to do.
Did you kind of put down the guitar there for a while? Or?
Yeah, actually, what had happened was before college, I'd put down the guitar, and when I'd gotten back into school, I started playing again with some friends. And I was playing guitar in a friend's band, in a couple of friends' bands, actually. We just did covers of pop songs, and I was just happy to play guitar behind some people while they mostly sang. And then the other one was a friend's band, and we were playing all his original stuff, and I was kind of coming up with parts. And so that time of uncertainty in school, plus realizing that, oh, I really do like this guitar stuff, I decided, you know what, I thought for the longest time that I couldn't be a musician. I wanted to, but I thought I couldn't because, you know, it was too difficult or whatever. But I decided, you know what, I'm just going to try this.
So, did Ryan Adams sort of come in with when you were in the band?
No, actually. So at this point I decided, like, I wanted to write songs.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. I was just who writes songs? And I was just kind of looking around and rediscovering some of my old parents' music, discovering all these new singer-songwriters. And so when I was about 20, I heard Ryan Adams for the first time. And that just completely changed my life. I heard the song "Oh My Sweet Carolina," and that just... I was like, I have to write songs like that. Because I listened to that song, and I felt something.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny that you would mention not only just him, but that song. Because when I first saw him, you know, he's very aloof on stage, which I like about him, and very honest. And when he talked about this song, you know, he played it, and we applauded and everything, and he said, yeah, I wrote that, you know? So he knows.
Yeah.
He knows what he did.
Yeah.
All right, so listen, you you gave us a version of it here that's not just the one that I know. Yeah. It's one I haven't heard before, with Neil Finn of Crowded House fame.
Yeah.
And solo work with his brother. And Janice Ian as well. Yeah. How did you come across that version?
I was actually trolling around on YouTube. I think it's kind of funny. Like, I remember YouTube came out when I was, like, in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that just completely formed, like, the way I use the internet and also just the way I looked at music. Like, I would just sit in front of the computer and just look up bands and artists just for hours and hours. Mm-hmm. And just, I had all this music, like, just pouring into my brain. And so when I was in college and I was kind of thinking about, like, just kind of looking around for, like, different singer-songwriters, I found that video. And it was a songwriting round he'd done on the BBC show Songwriter Circle.
Wow.
And so it was, so Ryan Adams in the round with Neil Finn and Janice Ian, and just playing that song.
You know that I have to play that.
Yeah.
That particular version.
Yes.
I'm going to do that now.
Yeah.
All right.
Please
this
do.
This is Ryan Adams, everybody. Yeah. In that song circle, exactly what we just mentioned. Oh, My Sweet Carolina, with Neil Finn and Janice Ian, right here on WMFO.
I went down to Houston and stopped in San Antonio. I passed up the station for the bus. I was trying to find me something, but I wasn't sure just what. And I ended up with pockets full of dust. So I went on to Cleveland. I ended up insane. I bought a borrowed suit and learned to dance. I was spending money like the way it likes to rain. Lord, I ended up with pockets full of cane. Oh, my sweet Caroline, what compels me to go? Oh, my sweet disposition, may you one day carry me home. Gambled up my life, building newsprint boats I raised to Superman's. Was trying to find me something, but wasn't sure just what. Funny how they say that some things never change. Oh, my sweet Caroline, what compels me to go? Oh, my sweet disposition, may you one day carry me home. City, feels like things are closing in. The sunset's just my light bulb burning out. I miss Kentucky and I miss my family. All the sweetest winds blow across the south. Oh, my sweet Carolina, what compels me to go? Oh, my sweet disposition, may you one day carry me home. May you one day carry me home.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was so nice to hear Ryan Adams. I'd never heard that version. I'm so glad you suggested that. Neil Finn and Janice Ian, what a dream team on that one.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I really liked the verse and the chorus and everything, and I was really digging it. And I think the moment that kind of like turned me into a Ryan Adams fan was like when he started that harmonica solo, and I think just something inside me just went, that's mm-hmm. it.
And you've got a harmonica and a guitar.
Yep. That's,
you do.
Yeah, Ryan Adams scarred me for life. Him and Bob Dylan.
Well, at least you've got a good solid foundation with those guys.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about when Ryan Adams just killed you.
Yeah.
And you knew you wanted to be a songwriter. You were in that band.
Yeah.
About 20 years old as you were in college.
Yeah.
And you graduated from college and you started to sort of want to write.
Yeah. So the kind of desire to be a songwriter was like there. I was, you know, 20 years old and like my friend whose band I was in had like graduated a little bit, so I was kind of doing a little bit more on my own, and I kind of had the desire to write songs, and I heard Oh My Sweet Carolina, and so not too long after that I started like really trying to write songs in earnest, and you know, most of them were bad, like just, you know, it's, and like I didn't like stuff I would never show people, but it took a couple of years, but when I was 22, not too long after I graduated college, I wrote like I think my first batch of songs that I was proud of, and When You Were Loved is one of them.
So we should mention that this is on a five song EP that you have. Congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you.
So the songs that you just mentioned, When You Were Loved, is on there. Now, before we do it, I know you're going to play this for us live here, which is great.
Yeah.
When did you start to play, feel that you could play things live, enough confidence to do that?
It was actually, I was still in college, not too long after like that friend whose band I was in graduated. I've been playing guitar, but I mean, like from around like 19 or 20 years old, I started like, our school had a student run coffee shop that did on open mic night once a month. Yeah, you know, it was probably like the most typical college singer songwriter experience that you could ever have, and so I just play at that open mic constant, like every time they had it I'd like play some like cover songs that I really liked. Later I was like playing the like few songs I had written that which of course I'm embarrassed by now, but it was at that age. And then once I graduated college I just started hitting up open mic nights constantly trying to.
That's the way to do it. So everybody, you can find the EP. It's called Walking in My Sleep. It's on Bandcamp. And if you look up our guest here, I hate reading URLs.
Yeah.
I'll post it so everybody can get to this.
Yeah.
But the first song that we want to play that's the third track on this EP is When You Were Loved. So tell me about it. I mean, that's a very provocative title.
Yeah, it's I kind of just gotten my songwriting legs, I think, when I wrote this song, and I was listening to Slade Cleaves, who's another really awesome singer-songwriter from New England,
mm-hmm.
went to Tufts and everything,
mm-hmm.
And he had this song called Without Her, and that I really liked, and I was like, I could write something like that, and so what I did is I sort of just took, like, I started writing lyrics, And then I just sort of started messing around with the, like, the chord progression to that song without her. And I, you know, taking out a chord here, adding a chord here, changing up the time signature. And just, I kind of kept messing with the song until it was something different from what it was. Mm-hmm. And sort of changed it into my song.
Did you have anybody in mind?
When I didn't really write that song about, like, a particular person. I just kind of, I was just like, that title kind of popped into my head, and I just thought, I could write a song based around that. That felt like a good set of words to base a song around.
Oh, yeah.
And it just kind of poured out of me. It was very strange and serendipitous, and I'm really glad it happened.
Well, hopefully it'll pour out of you right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to move the squeaky mic over closer to you.
Yeah.
And very happy to say you're going to play from your new EP called Walking in My Sleep. This is track number 3 called When You're Loved here at WMFO.
Awesome. All right, that's coming through clear.
Every shadow in the sun, every table set for one, will remind you of when you were loved. Every whisper in an ear, every joke that you can't hear, will remind you of when you were loved. Tear you've cried alone ain't enough. Every leaf that dries and fades, every shorter, colder day will remind you of when you were loved. Every time you hear that song, every time you sing along, will remind you of when you were loved. Every phone call that you miss, every morning without a kiss, will remind you of when you were loved. Every dream that disappears when you wake up, every chill deep in your bones, every road you walk alone will remind you of when you were loved, will remind you of when you were loved.
All right, so hopefully the microphone's not going to hit the floor. That was so. This is your first EP.
Yes, this is my first EP.
I have to tell you, from the melody and the words, loved it.
Thank you.
My voice said it was.
Thank you.
That was terrific.
Thank you so much.
So in the evolution of this EP, what was the when did that one fit in? Was that one of the first ones you wrote that you...
Yeah, I think that was definitely one of the first songs that I wrote that, like, I really felt comfortable sort of playing. And with this whole EP, I didn't really set out to, like... You know, I didn't kind of write to the record, like, you know, like... as like the some artists do it at some times. Like this was, because it was my first, I kind of just let all the songs happen. And I was just writing, you know, these were just songs that I was writing just to write songs and play them out for people wherever they would listen. So when it finally came time to just record the EP, I was like, oh yeah, I can. I just kind of, you know, grab those five songs from the sort of couple of handfuls that I had. And yeah, but that was definitely one of the first songs that I wrote that I really liked and I felt that other people might like too.
I can absolutely hear the Ryan Adams in there, and yeah, absolutely, you know, with the harmonica, the Bob Dylan is unmistakable. But that was fantastic. Let's talk about more of your influences, because it's getting clearer and clearer that you really are a product of these. The next one you mentioned just floored me. You mentioned Tom Waits.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't tell you how important Tom Waits has been in my life as far as a musical influence.
Yeah.
You know, are you familiar with Newport Folk Festival down in Rhode Island?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, ever been?
I have never been. I really, really want to change that. So
went there. I've been going there so often in my life, and never saw Tom Waits, but I think everybody that I've seen there in some way was influenced by this guy.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned a particular track, I Hope That I Don't Fall in Love With You.
Yeah.
It's just so gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. It's one of the, it's actually the first Tom Waits song that I ever heard.
No.
Yeah, first one.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Talk about getting started off on the right foot. That was something else. Yeah. Do you remember the circumstances when you first heard Mr. Waits?
I think it might have actually been like another YouTube binge. I was just kind of, I was just online, just kind of messing around, listening to songs, looking around for stuff, and I for whatever reason I clicked on that, and it completely floored me.
Floored you? Well,
yeah.
For those of you listening who haven't heard Tom Waits, you're about to be floored as well. I'm going to play your second influence here, Tom Waits. This is just beautiful. Hope That I Don't Fall in Love with You.
Yeah.
Here on WMFO. Turn around to look at you, and you look back at me.
Yeah, you with ease up and split the chair next to you's free. And I hope you don't fall in love with me. Now it's closing time. The music's fading out. Last call for drinks, I'll have another stout. Turn around to look at you. You know where to be found. Search the place for your lost face. Cause I'll have another round. And I think that I just fell in love with you.
All right, everybody, we're back. I told you that was a beautiful track. Tom Waits.
Yeah.
Hope That I Don't Fall in Love with You. I just love your influences, and I can hear, like I said, repeating myself now, but I can hear them in you. That was just fantastic.
Yeah.
Now I want to get back to your excellent EP here. We heard one track on there, When You Were Loved, and there's another one here that you and I have talked about offline called Stars Ain't Diamonds, and you said that that's kind of a Tom Waits influenced track.
Yeah.
Tell me about that one, and if you can remember the tell me about the title. Is there any reason that came to Stars Ain't Diamonds?
Yeah, it was I was in kind of a pretty deep depression when I wrote that song. I don't even know what started it, but I was just like absolute misery. And I usually write songs kind of based off of just usually words first, so I usually end up writing the lyrics and the like chords and melody follow not too long after. And the little sort of phrase that kind of came to my head at that time was like, "Stars ain't diamonds," and I'm just like, there's something I could work with.
And
that one also just I swear this isn't the case with all my songs, but that one also just it came pretty quickly, like all things considered. It didn't maybe flow quite as easily as some songs, but it definitely was just coming out.
So coming from where the place you were, and like you said, a deep depression, what's it about?
I think it was just, to this day, I'm sort of still not sure. I think I was just, I wanted to write a song that just sort of reflected, despair, or just this kind of sadness that the world is not maybe as beautiful as we would like it to be.
I think I better pour myself another glass of red wine for this one. I'm going to move the mic over to you. Would you be so kind as to do this live?
I would.
All right. It's going to be Pratik again from the new EP. By the way, you can get this EP at bandcamp.com. You can look up my guest's name. It's spelled P-R-A-T-E-E-K. First name, last name, P-O-D-D-A-R on Bandcamp. And the record is called Walking in My Sleep. And live again here in Studio C, it is Stars Ain't Diamonds.
All right.
Last goodbye. this world will break you. But if you don't allow your knees to hit the floor. Cause stars ain't diamonds and rain ain't tears and love don't last a thousand years. We build our walls our gates, but we'll all be in the dirt someday. This dancer dressed all in black dug her nails into my back, but she pulled away by and by. It's times like these our gates, but we'll all be in the dirt someday.
Absolutely fantastic. Mike on the mic here at WMFO in Studio C with my guest, Pratik Poddar, treating us to some live performances. You know, and now that I've heard you play, why don't we talk a little bit about what you're doing? Are you playing out? Where can people see you?
Yeah, so I actually have a band that I just started playing with. So I've three ridiculously talented musicians who back me up in my songs and kind of flesh them out a little bit. I was playing mostly solo shows for like a couple of years, and it's really nice to see what I can do with my songs with just like bass and guitar and drums. So we're doing a couple of shows later this year too. Currently, the one that we have coming up is going to be at Thunder Road on December 27th. So
that's nice holiday show there.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. Yeah. It's gonna be great, man. Right after the holidays, Thunder Road is a relatively new club. I think
I've been there once.
Yeah, yeah. I think as of this winter, they'll have only been open a year, and I'm really excited to be able to play there. They're just wonderful to all the local acts, mm-hmm. and they're trying to put on some of the best shows possible there. And I can say, based on some people, some of the artists I've seen there, they're doing a great job. So I'm really excited to be on that stage.
Awesome. So if people were to go to bandcamp.com and search your name again, Prateek Poddar, P-R-A-T-E-E-K, mm-hmm. first name, P-O-D-D-A-R. On this five-song EP, would we hear just you doing solo acoustic, or do you have some backup on there?
Yeah, the EP that I recorded is actually entirely solo acoustic. So I actually met the guys who are in my band a fair bit after I recorded that EP.
Oh, perfect.
So yeah, it's that being said, there is another EP in the works, and the details are still a little fuzzy, but that one will feature other musicians and there will be a full band on it, and it's gonna be great. Yeah,
it's gonna be great. All right, three words for you that comprise a name that will strike happiness in everybody: Townes Van Zandt.
Oh man,
right?
Yeah,
so he's another, I'm so happy that you've listed him as another of your influences.
Yeah.
The track "Nothing." When's the first time you heard that, and what did it do to you?
The first time I heard that was relatively recently. I came to Townes Van Zandt probably when I was maybe 22 or 23.
Mm-hmm. Recently,
very recently. And Townes Van Zandt is one of those names that gets brought up a lot if you're kind of doing like a folk singer songwriter thing.
Oh yeah, he was amazing, and his influence will never wane.
Exactly, yeah. And people will always say, and especially if you're kind of into like folk and country blues, like all the sort of Americana scene, mm-hmm. like Townes Van Zandt gets brought up a lot. You got to listen to Townes Van Zandt, man, he's so great. And I finally just sort of gave in and listened to a couple of songs. The first song by him that I heard was "Waiting Around to Die," and that one blew me away because that's an intense song.
Oh, yeah.
But
"Nothing."
Yeah, but "Nothing" was after like I was relatively familiar with Townes Van Zandt. I'd heard like a bunch of his like sort of really well known songs like "Rake," "Poncho and Lefty," "I Needed You," and "Fraternity Blues," all that kind of stuff, and I'd never heard this song before, and the first time that I heard it, it really knocked me flat, because it's a absolutely bleak and brutal song, so beautiful at the same time. But
yeah, I mean, the genius of Townes Van Zandt is you get blown away at the same time, you're sort of like, oh my God,
yeah,
really, that's devastating.
Yeah,
yeah.
His songs devastated people, and they could break you apart and put you back together at the same time. It was phenomenal.
All right, let's show off what we're talking about with Townes Van Zandt. Great track here. This is called "Nothing." Another one of your influences here at WMFO.
Hey, Mama, when you leave, don't leave a thing behind. I don't want nothing, can't use nothing. Take care into the hall, and if you see my friends, tell them I'm fine, not using nothing. Almost burned out my eyes and threw my ears down to the floor. I didn't see nothing, I didn't hear nothing. I stood there like a block of stone, knowing all I had to know and nothing more. Man, that's nothing. Our troubles are locked in each other's arms, and you better pray that they never find you, 'cause your back ain't strong enough for burdens double fold. It'd crush you down, nothing. Being born is going blind and biting down a thousand times. Echoes strung on pure temptation. Sorrow and solitude, these are the precious things and the only words that are worth remembering.
All right, back now here at WMFO. Wasn't that something else to hear some Towns Van Zandt? You know, for those of you who might have heard him for the first time, hope you were blown away. Towns Van Zandt is just the best there is, I think. But there's so many great influences that you've mentioned so far already. I mean, you've heard Ryan, we've heard Tom Waits, and now Towns. That's an amazing group for you to draw on,
yeah, man.
And to grow out of.
Yeah,
that was amazing. I'm really loving your influences so far.
Thank you.
So you're welcome. So yeah. let's look at another track of yours that is, as of now, unrecorded.
Yeah, this one's unrecorded. I've been playing it a bunch with the band recently, and mm-hmm. it's definitely going to be on the next EP that I record because I really love it, and I'm yeah.
So this is kind of a provocative title.
Yeah.
No One Gets What They Deserve.
Yeah.
So what were you thinking about that one?
Well, that's a funny song. The kind of story behind it, just the bridge version, I guess. I played this gig in Connecticut, which is about a 2.5-3 hour drive, something like that. And I was featuring at an open mic down in, Hamden. So like kind of around the New Haven area,
mm-hmm.
and it was a long drive, but I got there, I played my set, and I had started hanging out with the bar staff, and they loved the songs. They were really nice to me. You know, they were buying me drinks. We were all hanging out, having a grand old time. It got late and we were all still hanging out, and then the bar closed and we were all still hanging out. Booking agent like had a ukulele and we were passing that around and just jamming, and it was ridiculous. And it got till around 4 a.m. or so, and I realized it might not be the best idea to drive 2.5 hours at 4 a.m. okay. when I was pretty tired,
especially with the Connecticut State Police.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so I one of the bartenders let me crash on his couch. He had a place not too far from the bar. And so he was really nice, and I stayed overnight, and I woke up and I drove back home. And not too long, a few days after that happened, I think I sat down and wrote that song, and I was just kind of thinking about like what it must like to actually just be on the road for a living. Cause I play some out of state gigs every now and then, but I still haven't gotten to like full-time touring artist. And this song came out of imagining that a little bit. Yeah.
All right. Once again, live here in Studio C. This is as yet unreleased, but you promised it'll be on the next one.
It will.
For sure. And you play this if we see you live?
Yes.
You do.
I love the way it sounds with the band. But
all right. Let's do it. Once again, here at WMFO Studio C, this is No One Gets What They Deserve.
All right.
Up till sunrise, you've been waking up at dark, you've been writing checks like prayers, you've been living in your car, you've been smoking with the waiters while they complain about the crowd. You've been drinking with the bartenders. You've been sleeping on their couch. You've been sleeping on their couch. all your hours thinking how the suits are all to blame. Cause you've been drying out your bank book, trying to make it rain. And you're still married to the highway, still in love with the dream. You trade your songs for fries and coffee, you sell your soul for gasoline, you sell your soul for gasoline. Just another somewhere. Somewhere's just another day. This isn't how you might have planned it, but this is how it's gonna stay. Hard to say if it gets better, hard to say if it gets worse. But you only get what's coming. No one gets what they deserve. No one gets what they deserve. Staying up till sunrise, you've been waking up at dark, you've been drinking with the bartenders, you've been sleeping on their couch.
There you go. That was definitely a different tenor of a song.
Yeah.
On that one.
Slightly different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, some people too get what they deserve.
Yeah.
So that may be just a little bit of a stretch there,
yeah,
on your part, but that's okay. You can take those liberties as a songwriter.
Yeah.
I have to say that the next track that you have and the last of your influences is a bit of a different kind of an artist, certainly younger than the others. Mm-hmm. It's a guy named John Fulbright, who I know of, but I don't know really much of his work.
Yeah.
And I'd love to sort of round out your influences with the one that you chose, Me Wanting You.
Yeah.
It sounds very intriguing to me. Tell me about John Fulbright and this track.
So John Fulbright is another artist who I came to recently, and he put out this album. When I got into him was after he, not too long after, he put out an album called Songs, which was his second album overall. And it's a very simple, minimalist record. I believe it's 12 songs or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all very simple stuff, mostly acoustic guitar and piano. A couple of tracks are done with a full band, but it's all very minimal. Most of the nut songs are solo, and it's just gorgeous. Just song after song after song. There's not a single bad song on that record.
Okay, out of a record like that, what made you choose Me Wanting You?
Yeah, Me Wanting You was actually off his first record, which is also like another record. There's just not a bad song off of it. And what really struck me about that song was that it's so simple. I actually had a copy of the lyrics one time, and I counted out the lyrics. The lines, and I think it's only a 12 line song.
Really?
It's about like a 3 minute song or so, but it's just there's so few lyrics, and it's a ridiculously powerful song.
There's an awful lot that can be said in simplicity.
Exactly.
Via simplicity.
Exactly.
I should
say. And that's kind of been a goal of mine, is to try to use, you know, as few lyrics as possible to say as much as possible. And I think John Fulbright is one of those people who does that ridiculously well.
So this is from his first record, you said?
Yes.
All right, can I spin that one? I'm really intrigued now.
Yeah, absolutely. Please
do. All right, great. John Fulbright here from his first record. This is Me Wanting You. Yeah. Another one of Pratik's influences. The last one, actually, here. Yeah. Right here at WMFO.
This is not reflection. Reflection is true. This is just me. Me wanting you. Sweet silver. That I can't undo. Well, this is just me. Me wanting you. And when I drink, well, I find never too sure what I'm to do. Sometimes I think you're still out there waiting. This is just me. Me wanting you. This is just me. Me wanting you. This is just me. Me wanting you.
All right, that was just wonderful to hear, Mr. John Fulbright, from his first record. Great choice, Me Wanting You. That was, as you said, simplicity.